But from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. You're listening to Idaho Matters. Now more than ever, kids are needing the support of the adults in their lives, which is why St. Luke's is hosting a virtual health talk on how to show up for young people with compassion and understanding. Now, this talk will look at how we can create safe environments for kids so that they can share their feelings, also so that we can better listen and support them while also helping them find a way forward. So joining us now to talk more about this, as well as the upcoming event, is Erin Poffley, the Senior Director of Community Health and Engagement with St. Luke's. She will be hosting the health talk tomorrow. Erin, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much, Jim. I appreciate it.
So, you know, Erin, across the country, we are seeing so many kids and that, you know, youth who are experiencing a mental health crisis. We are seeing it right here in Idaho. So why is it important that we take the time to sit down and not just talk with our kids about how they're feeling, but listen to them about how they're feeling?
I appreciate the question. You're quite right that not only nationally, but, you know, most specifically in Idaho, we are seeing our young people struggle. And when we had the opportunity to host screenings of Hiding in Plain Sight across southern Idaho, overwhelmingly adults in the room shared the desire to have help, to ask for help, to build practical skills and how to actively listen to young people. It was overwhelmingly a request of help us understand how to create these safe environments, help us understand the language we should use when talking to young people, and help us understand if we're hearing that a young person is in distress, how do we get them connected to the right support? And some of this seems basic, right, around developing listening skills, but I think when we're scared, right, or we're unsure of what we might hear when we ask somebody a question like, how are you doing? I think these basic listening skills tend to sort of go out the door, right? Because we're we're nervous. We're nervous about the conversation, and kiddos need us to not be nervous. They need us to show up for them.
Well, and as a parent myself, of a teen and a tween, I mean, look, there's no playbook, right?
Yes.
So right. I feel like no matter how educated you are, you know, no matter how stable you are, all of these things, I mean, I looked at my teen the other night as we were talking, and I just said, I go, I don't have all the answers. Like I don't know sometimes. And I mean, is that an okay thing to say to your children? Because I think sometimes there's this idea that we can't just tell them, like, look, I'm doing this by the seat of my pants, kid.
I think it's more than okay, right? It shows them that you're not perfect. And in fact, you may not have perfect expectations of them as well, right? It shows them that you're human and that sometimes life can be difficult. And by acknowledging that, you can relate to them and they can relate to you a little bit better. But the message I think that needs to follow that is, we will find a solution together, right? We will make sure that we can solve for this together. So I think it's perfectly fine to say, whoa, this is a new one for me, right? Or it's okay to say, it's hard for me to relate to that. It's not an experience I've had, or is different from the experience I had growing up. This is new to me, but how can we work on it together? And not shutting down the conversation because you're uncomfortable, right? Or you feel as an adult that you need to have the answer, is making sure to leave those lines of communication open and creating the space of respect and non-judgmental listening, and just look at your kid, right, and say, we'll figure it out. Nothing's too big for us to not figure out together.
So how, Erin, do we then create an environment where our kids actually feel comfortable enough sharing things with us, whether those are hard things or frankly, I think just sharing in general, because teens start to clam up.
Sure. They do. And especially when it's something that may feel difficult or they may be embarrassed about or think they might be in trouble for. And so a few things that we recommend is taking deep breaths, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making sure to withhold emotional reactions to what they're sharing. I also recommend that when your teen or any teen who's coming to you for support asks to have a conversation, you might start with asking them, what do you want and need from me today in this conversation, right? Do you just want me to listen? Do you want me to advise? Or do you need for me to intervene? And so it allows that young person to sort of set up the expectation of the conversation. And it hopefully presents us from going to that really quick fix it place. I mean, Jeba, I know I'm super quick on wanting to fix things, right? Right? Of just sort of jumping in there and giving the answers. But sometimes, and actually quite a lot, young people and other adults in our lives, of course, they don't need us to actually jump in and fix it. They just need a non-judgmental, respectful, listening person. So starting with that, what's the intention of what you're sharing with me, right? Not overwhelming the person with fix-it responses. And, you know, especially with a young person, letting them know that anything they tell you is not insurmountable, right? Mm-hmm. That it's not something that is not going to be fixable. That together, you know, either the two of you or whomever you're speaking, you know, can find solutions or find the people who can help with those solutions. Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about some of the language that we should maybe should not be using with our kids. I loved what you said about, you know, when we say something like, I don't know, I don't have the answers, but, and you said, well, then, you know, follow that up with, but we'll figure this out, you know, together. But can we start with maybe some of the don'ts be that we should do? Because I know the other night, you know, I had a conversation with one of my kids and I was not in a good space, right? I was ticked off. And so the conversation did not start out well because mama was mad, right? But then I was like in the midst of that being like, okay, I have like hurt their feelings. I'm not listening. Okay, I need to calm down. And the conversation did end up better, right? But I think sometimes we, you know, we have to make sure we're in a good space. So what are some of the things you would encourage us not to do? I mean, probably what I did the other night.
Well, I appreciate it. And sometimes we don't know when our kids are going to want to have an important conversation either, right? So you may be unprepared. And so I think it's perfectly fine to say to the young person, your child, whomever it might be, may I have a moment, right? May I have a moment to take a deep breath and get in a good place where I can be the best listener for you, right? So taking that time to take a deep breath, truly, right? Center yourself, feet on the ground or hands on a table, and ask for a moment to really clear your mind and be there for them as a good listener. So I would always start with that. Again, and that deep breathing, again, we come back down to some basics, right? That deep breathing can keep you calm and centered throughout any type of difficult conversation. So reminding yourself to breathe, reminding yourself to be present and not distracted. And I think this big piece of just listening, taking a deep breath before you respond, because you may be hearing things that are incredibly difficult to hear, right? They may scare you. They may make you sad. And the way that you respond, not necessarily always your language, but the actual physical presence and how you respond is really important. So I would start with sort of setting the stage that way with your child or the young person approaching you.
So, you know, I think too, what about this idea? Because I think some people have very differing feelings about this. What about like, you know, apologizing to your children? And I ask this because, you know, my parents never apologized, right? I mean, that never happened. I apologize to my kids all the time. And I do it because I'm like, well, they're human beings, right? And if I screw up as a parent or if I like, I mean, I always say like, look, I should have done better. I'm, you know, I apologize. I'm the mom. Or even when there is a conversation and maybe there's been an impact on your child that you didn't expect, that to say, you know, like, wow, that's on me, right? I inadvertently set you up for X, Y, and Z, and that was not my intention. And I apologize. What about this idea then of of apologizing to our kids and frankly taking responsibility for sometimes that we don't do everything right.
I'm not a clinician, so I want to be a little bit careful in my response to this, Gemma, but I do, you are spot on in this recognition of humanity, right? But also the recognition of modeling for your child, right? The type of person you hope them to be. Recognizing I've made a mistake, I can acknowledge that I've made a mistake, right? And how do we move on from that? How do we express, oh, I was having a really tough day when you told me, you know, X, Y, or Z. I'm human. I have feelings. And modeling that for our young people, I think, is incredibly important. And being able to humbly come back to someone to say, I made a mistake, and how can we work through this together, shows them that they can then, in fact, do the same with you. And I think that's always important in raising young people, coaching young people, teaching young people is really role modeling that behavior of humility. You're not giving up power as a parent by saying sorry. You're telling your child you're relatable to them.
So I think so. Right. And it is that modeling. Okay. So let's get to the talk tomorrow that you'll be facilitating. Sure. Who will be a part of this health talk?
So I will be hosting and facilitating the talk, but the two presenters are Tyler Norris, and Tyler is a social entrepreneur and trusted advisor to philanthropies and partnerships, working really deeply to improve the well-being of people and place. And he's incredibly well-known nationally and internationally for shaping health and development initiatives in communities across the U.S. He's a close partner to us at St. Luke's, in particular to our community health and engagement team, really doing some deep work here in Idaho around mental health. And then Monica Reyna is local. I'm calling from Wood River. She's in Wood River as well. And she serves as the violence prevention coordinator of the Advocates for Survivors of Domestic Violence and Sexual Assault. She is keenly engaged with young people. So she facilitates their Every Teen Counts youth leadership program, as well as leading healthy relationship education. So Tyler's going to interview Monica, really, right? He's going to ask her about her experience working with young people directly and how she has seen over time the very questions you've asked me. How do you create that safe space? What type of language do I use with the young people? What do I do if a young person tells me something that makes me scared for them, right? Or nervous for them? Mm-hmm. How do I respond? So she'll talk about her firsthand experience working with young people. I think it's going to be very dynamic.
So then how do people sign up? And is it virtual and in person? So how virtual. What will that look like?
It's virtual. Thank you so much. So virtual tomorrow, virtual 12 to 1 Mountain Time. We will record it and put it on our Community Health YouTube page for those who can't experience it live. Best idea at this point for learning more and to register is to go to stlukesonline.org and search for our virtual health talks. Not only will it bring up tomorrow's health talk, but it'll bring up all the future health talks we have scheduled, and people can register directly on the website.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking time to talk to us about this. It is, trust me, when you're in the midst of it, man, you need guidance. And I think sometimes, you know, we as parents, as caregivers, we are trying to find that. So thank you for the conversation and also, you know, for putting this together for tomorrow.
You bet. I really appreciate the time, Gemma. Thanks so much.
We do too. We've been talking with Erin Poffley, the Senior Director of Community Health and Engagement with St. Luke's, about tomorrow's virtual health talk on how to show up for young people. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
What if the greatest tragedy of your life was just covered up.
I have never seen anything like that before or after.
This is the story of the worst marine-on-marine friendly fire in modern history, a story kept from the public.
It's like, what did y'all have to hide?
Listen to NPR's Embedded podcast in its latest series, Taking Cover.